Welcome to Martha Runs the World, a podcast about running, fitness, and all things health related. I'm Martha Hughes, your host, and each week I'll introduce a new episode that is of interest to all runners. Hi, and welcome to episode 266 of Martha Runs the World. This week is a long time coming, and it's been over 5 years, and I apologize for taking so long to talk about female runners, or the title of this episode, Running While Female. And most certainly, all runners, male or female, have things in common. So most things in common, but there are a few dissimilarities that I'm going to talk about if you are female. And just because you're a guy, you don't have to tune out. If you're squeamish or whatever in certain parts, you can fast forward. But it's good to understand what goes on between the different sexes, isn't it? So I'm going to talk about that today. And just as an FYI, in future episodes, I'll talk about older runners or more mature runners and younger runners as well. It's been many years since men thought women couldn't run or shouldn't run and would damage their productive organs if they did. Yes, there was a belief that if women ran, their productive organs would fall out. That was a real, honest-to-goodness belief many, many years ago. Thank goodness we're over that, right? In 1967, Catherine Switzer became the first woman to run the Boston Marathon. Now, I talked about her in my History of the Boston Marathon show, episode number 169, which I did in April of 2022. So you can go back and look at that if you like. And I talk in detail about her. She dressed like a man and nearly pulled off her disguise before she was almost pulled off the course. It was very much no females, and she became a big-time role model and hero for women everywhere who wanted to run and weren't allowed to just because they were female. Things have changed, obviously. Now, in many road races, women far outnumber men. And in trail racing, there are more men, but those numbers are changing, and hopefully we'll get a nice balance between men and women. Now, why is running a great exercise for women? I know it's a great exercise for both men and women, but today it's all about women. Why is it a great exercise for us? Controlled anaerobic training. If you have one day a week or 2 days on intervals, hill reps, and fartlek training, it may lead to gains in strength and speed similar to those produced by steroids, but without, of course, the noxious side effects. High-intensity anaerobic running is one of the most potent stimulators of natural human growth hormones, those that contribute to stronger muscles and ultimately enhance performance. And this doesn't just help women, of course, this helps everyone. So it's good to get a little bit of speed work in with your running, and this can help women runners. And it's a great exercise as well, and it will help your running. And a lot of women say, how can I get faster? Well, this is one way you can get faster, by doing one workout a week of speed work. But please make sure that you are an experienced runner. Beginning runners should not do anything like that. They should just get used to running and get a few months running under your belt before you attempt anything like this. An American study found that running women produce a less potent form of estrogen than their sedentary counterparts. As a result, female runners cut by half their risks of developing breast and uterine cancer, and by two-thirds their risk of contracting the form of diabetes that most commonly plagues women. That's a huge, huge bonus. That's really good reason to run, isn't it? I just think running is just a wonderful way to exercise and a wonderful way to get outside. To me, running represents freedom. I like to run by myself, and it represents something that I can do on my own power. I don't rely on a piece of machinery like a bike, I don't rely on anyone else. I go out and do it by myself. And that is a huge source of freedom. And many women perhaps don't feel like they have freedom. Running is a way to get freedom. I really feel it's a powerful means to show that you can do more than you think you can. And it's getting better, but I think many women don't have that sense of freedom or that sense of power or that sense of self-ability. And this is a way you can get it. Now, you don't have to be competitive or the competitive type to enter a race every now and then. You can find lots of other races that aren't competitive that do go in road races or trail races. It's whatever you like. They're a lot of fun and they're social and you can just have fun. You don't have to be a fast runner. You can be a slow runner. As long as you make the cutoff times, that's all that matters. You can be back of the pack. Heck, I'm back of the pack. I'm not fast, but I enjoy it and I have a good time. And you can just be out there meeting other runners and you might make friends. I think that some new women runners get the wrong idea about races, so they don't go into races. And I understand it's intimidating. It's hard when you start out because you see all the fast runners take off and you're at the end. But most races, there'll be people with you at the end and just do your own race, run your own race, and just keep going. And you'll get to the end and you can be proud of your effort. And if you desire to be faster, you can work on being faster. You can make improvements on your time. You can do that and you can set that time. So you can say, oh, this is my base time. How can I get faster? How can I do it better the next time? And work on it. Life is an improvement. Running can be improved and you can be a better runner, but a faster runner if you want to be. It's all up to you. And if you don't, that's fine too. Just run your own race. Do your own thing. And hey, if you join a local 5K and meet other people in your area, you might make friends along the way. And you might find running buddies that you can go running with sometime during the week. That's a lot of ways that how I found friends and how I found people in my area. I think it's a great way to make running friends. And the thing with running friends is that most of the time they're friends for life. Running friends are just the most amazing people in the world, I think. Women who run for weight control may lose perspective on what is appropriate for body size. And this is something to be aware of. If you already have a negative view of your body and you think that running is a way to lose weight, you may not actually view your body as reality. You may see yourself as heavier than you already are. And that's kind of a red flag. So be careful of that. A recent survey of thousands of women found that while 44% of respondents were overweight, 73% thought they were. And this can lead to trouble down the road. So if you really think that you were overweight and think that you have a problem, I would go see a doctor. You can go see a registered dietitian. Find some professional, health professional, to gain perspective and to say, I think I'm overweight. Can we do a real fat measuring test? There are great ways to measure your fat content. You can do a water fat content measure. It's probably the best way to do it. It's not cheap. It's kind of expensive, but you can get a reality check to see if you really actually are overweight. And it can, maybe you're not. A lot of times you're not and you think you are. You might be underweight. Who knows? But this is a way that you can do it in a proper manner with a professional and help you set up a healthy diet and a healthy way of eating for yourself. A lot of women do have eating disorders, unfortunately. Men do too, obviously, but women, there's more of a likelihood to have one, and they either have that eating disorder before they run or before they start running, and they use running as a tool to lose more weight. I had one in my 20s, and running, I found, helped me lose more weight. So I would run and not eat, which never turns out well, so it's not really a good thing to do. But I could find that I didn't eat, and if I went and ran, I would lose even more weight. And after I ran, I wasn't hungry, so that was really cool. Or at least I thought then. It wasn't cool. It wasn't great. Not a good way to live. And I wasn't a happy person, so I was kind of grumpy all the time. Well, no wonder why I was grumpy. I wasn't eating. My body was crying out for food, and I wasn't eating, so I wasn't very happy. Now I'm a few pounds overweight, but I'm happier than I was then. So it all works out, doesn't it? And if you think you do have an eating disorder, there are many resources and organizations who can help you back to proper health. So reach out for them and the website, martharunsworld.com. I'll list a couple that can help you if you need it. And you can always email me if you need help. I will be there for you. Just make sure that you're eating enough to support your running, because if you are running, you may need more nutrients than when you were sitting on the couch. So make sure you're getting proper nutrition. And running also, though, there's the other side of things that running is not an excuse to overeat. Unfortunately, some of the radical diets out there set up people for binge and starvation modes. So you starve yourself for 24 hours, or fasting, same thing. You starve yourself for 24 hours, and then you have 4 hours to binge. And I know I'm not saying it in the nice way, like the diet says, but that is what it is in reality. You're starving and then you're binging. Does that sound healthy to you? It doesn't to me. And it doesn't to a lot of registered dietitians. A lot of doctors, a lot of medical professionals are starting to speak out. And thankfully, those diets are fading away. So we won't see as many of those in the future as we do now. And no, binging on red meat and raw milk is not healthy. No, it isn't. And here's one thing that I never thought about until I was reading about it, is that, yeah, men and women are never going to be equal in the urination department. Okay, no, we're not. And I don't know. God, you're perfect, but maybe not this way. All right, I'm kidding there. I'm just kidding. Just kidding. But men can run into the bushes for a few seconds and run back out and not have a problem. Or they can use a public restroom or a porta potty. Not a big deal. And for us, it's a little bit more complicated. But once you get used to it, you too can do it almost as quickly. And if you're out trail running, take long tissues with you, because you never know when you're going to use them. I always have my running vest with me, so I always have that along with me. I don't understand people trail running who don't take anything with them. Do you never have an emergency? Is every run perfect for you and you never need anything? I don't know those people. Weird. They always have perfect runs and never have anything bad happen to them. I don't know them, and I don't know that. Things happen to me. Or maybe it's just me. Maybe I always have, or not always, but I have things happen to me on occasion when I have to make a quick exit to the bushes. All right. But yeah. And it said in that story, know your plants so that you don't use the wrong leaves as toilet paper. I'm not going to use leaves as toilet paper. Sorry, not going to do that. But if you are the type of person that does, know the difference between poison oak and poison ivy and the other plants. You don't want to use poison oak as toilet paper. You really, really don't. Oh, I've heard of stories like that. Yeah, that's not a place you want poison oak. No, not good. Not good. The two minerals that women runners need to pay the most attention to are calcium and iron. Iron is especially important for menstruating women. Good sources of calcium are dairy products, dark leafy vegetables, broccoli, canned sardines, and salmon, while foods high in iron include liver, fortified dry cereals, beef, and spinach. Now, unfortunately, in running groups, Every time I hear a female talk about being low in iron, it's almost always a vegan runner. Now, I know this is not necessary because vegan runners don't have to suffer from vitamin deficiencies. It's not necessary. It's probably someone who hasn't paid attention to their diet or hasn't gotten enough of something. Maybe it's just after their period or something, and they haven't really gotten enough of the nutrients to make up for what they've lost. So if you are a vegan runner, or if you are someone who doesn't get a whole lot of protein or hasn't paid attention, you really have to pay attention. You can take supplements. There are supplements out there that don't use animal products. If that concerns you, you can do it, but you have to get those covered and you have to take enough of that, because running will tax that, and you will find yourself in a bad position if you don't get enough calcium and iron. It's very important. Running helps to produce healthy skin. According to dermatologists, running stimulates circulation, transports nutrients, and flushes out waste products. All of this leads to a reduction in subcutaneous fat, making skin clearer and facial features more distinct. So there's no need for plastic surgery. Go for a run.
We'll be right back.
Hey, quick question for you. Are you someone who wants to be fit, healthy, and happy? And what if I told you you could get your dream body by simply just listening to a podcast? I'm Josh.
And I'm KG, and we are the hosts of the Fit, Healthy, and Happy podcast.
Listen, we get it. Fitness isn't easy. Carbs, no carbs.
Just stop, okay? It doesn't have to be that complicated. And that's why we made this podcast. We get straight to the facts so you can become your best you.
So the way to check us out is click the link in the show notes or search Fit, Healthy, and Happy podcast on any of the major podcast platforms. We'll see you soon.
I mean, really, running just does so many good things for us. It's so healthy for us. It's so good for our skin. It flushes out all that nastiness. And so don't go for the plastic surgery. Like I said, go for a run, save thousands of dollars that way. So when you come home, you say, I saved thousands of dollars. I went for a run instead of taking the knife to my face. I'll think of that next time. Now let's talk about safety for women in running. I've talked about this before. I've had two episodes about this previously, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it, just a few basic things. I have strong opinions on this subject, so I'm going to tell them a little bit. But I really, really don't like being told by non-running men that I shouldn't run by myself. No, that's wrong. I will run by myself if I feel like it. I'm not stupid. I'm not going to go where it's not safe, but I will run by myself. Used to be safe in San Francisco to run by myself at night. It's not now. It's a different place now, so I don't do that at night. But in other places, it's perfectly safe to run by yourself at night. Just not here. But other places it is. So if you feel safe at night, run by yourself. But be sensible about it. Use common sense. If you run at night, have gear on that you can see. Use a headlamp. Do not listen to music. You must be aware of your surroundings. Have a whistle with you. I'm not a big believer in having devices of self-protection because I think they can be used against you and hurt you more than they can help you. So I'm not really a big believer in that. Now, other things other than that, here are some things to keep you safe as you run. Let someone know where you're going to go run, the route. Or if you live alone, leave a note at home with your running route and when you'll be back. I think that's really important. I don't do that, and I should do that. So I'm not going to be hypocritical. I'm going to start doing that. So I think that's kind of a really neat thing to do. Switch your running routes often. Don't always go out in the same 2 miles or 3 miles or 10 miles if you're longer every time. Some people do the same route every time so that your habits are easily read, and that sets you up. And that's not really a safe thing to do. So switch it up. It's really easy to do. You don't have to do, it doesn't have to be a lot, just switch it up. If you have three different routes you like, then just do them all differently. Like I always said, carry a whistle. Now my Ultimate Direction Vest has a whistle built in and it's really easy to get to. I would suggest getting a high-pitched whistle. Those are really nice to have. And it's just, unless you are an expert at a self-defense device, I hesitate suggesting carrying one because most people don't practice enough with it to make it worthwhile. It could be used against you. Don't listen to music if it's too loud. If you do listen to music, keep it down softly and always look around to make sure that that you're safe and that you know everything around you. Keep your head in a swivel, as they say. Always look around. Don't get lost in your thoughts with the music on. That's not a safe thing to do. And when you're on the trail, do not listen to music. You have to keep your attention on the trail. It's very important to do that. I see people listening to music on a trail. I don't really like that. Unless you're like in the middle of a long race and you need something to get your head back in the game, then all right, music is okay. But if you're by yourself out training, no, don't listen to music. Keep it off. And always carry your ID. I see runners here in San Francisco who are running and they're not carrying anything. Well, okay, they might be carrying ID. I don't see that. But they're not carrying anything else. So I really suggest always carry your ID with you so that if something happens, people know who you are. They don't know who you are if you don't have anything with you. How are they going to identify you? They can't. So carry your ID with you. And they have those ID bracelets you can always buy too that have an emergency phone number on them and your name and some other, there's an ID number that they can contact on the bracelet. So if you want to do that, you can get one of those. There's more information in past episodes. So if you want to look towards that, you can. I want to talk a little bit about running while pregnant. Doctors consider that moderate exercise during a normal pregnancy is completely safe for the baby. Running should cause no problems in the first trimester, and it should be fine for most people in the second trimester. Few women would run in their final 3 months, however. The most important precaution is to avoid getting overheated. A core body temperature above 101 Fahrenheit could increase the risk of birth defects. So make sure you're staying cool enough, and if in doubt, take your temperature after a run. If it's over 100 degrees, you're probably overdoing it. Also, skip that post-run soak in a hot bath. And just a note, women who train intensively have been pregnant in the past 2 years or consume fewer than 2,500 calories a day should get more than routine blood tests for iron status, since these tests only for anemia, the final stage of iron deficiency. Instead, ask for more revealing tests. Include those for serum, ferritin, transferrin saturation, and total iron building capacity. If you were a regular runner before you became pregnant, you might have a bigger baby. Good news, since up to a point, larger infants tend to be stronger and weather physical adversity better. Researchers in the U.S. found that women who burned up to 100 calories a day through exercise gave birth to babies weighing 5% more than offspring of inactive moms. Those who burned 2,000 calories per week delivered babies weighing 10% more. And now, for every woman who goes through this, a little bit on running and your menstrual cycle. There's no need to miss a run or a race just because you're having your period. If you're suffering from cramps, running will often alleviate the pain thanks to the release during exercise of pain-relieving chemicals called endorphins. Speed work and hill sessions can be especially effective. To guard against leakage, try using a tampon and a towel for extra protection. If you run so much that your periods become light or non-existent, you may be endangering your bones. Amenorrhea, lack of a monthly period, means that little or no estrogen, essential for the replacement of bone minerals, is circulating in your body. Amenorrheic women can stop, but not reverse, the damage by taking estrogen and getting plenty of calcium. If your periods are infrequent or absent, consult a gynecologist, preferably one sensitive to the needs of runners. Now, the best time of the month to push endurance training is when estrogen is high. If you're looking to increase your training volume, aim to do this around week 2 of your cycle. Why? Estrogen shifts your metabolism to a greater reliance on fat, which conserves your muscle's limited store of carbohydrates. Use this to your advantage and plan your long runs during this time in your cycle. The worst time of the month for endurance performance is during your period when progesterone is high. While harder workouts may be more challenging during your period, easy running may actually improve your mood and alleviate physical symptoms associated with your period. Estrogen is powerful. Did you know that estrogen helps your muscles recover? It inhibits inflammation and stimulates muscle repair and regeneration following strenuous exercise. Plus, it can lower your core body temperature and protect your bones from stress fractures. Progesterone can affect your hydration levels. When running during week 3 or 4 of your cycle, it's important to focus on keeping cool and staying hydrated, since progesterone is at its highest levels at this time. It acts on your brain's hypothalamus, if I pronounce that wrong, I apologize, which increases your set point temperature. This means a woman's body must reach a higher temperature before her thermostat compensates and begins to cool itself in sweat. This is not a good thing when running on a hot and humid day, when you want to begin the cooling response as soon as possible. So make sure to drink plenty of water before, during, after you're running. Now, running can be an effective PMS treatment. Sometimes, certain period-related symptoms may make it harder for women to run and be motivated, feeling tired or bloated, having less energy, cramps, upset stomach, and dealing with tampons, pads, and cups. Aerobic exercise won't prevent PMS, but it can greatly reduce the symptoms naturally. Ah, that's great news. We women have found our place in running. It's a magical exercise tool, a companion, a friend, and a reason to get up at ungodly hours of the morning to tackle unreasonable distances when we would never think of doing otherwise. More and more of us are running longer distances and faster times. We're staying out on the roads and trails later in our lives and are healthier and happier for it. I'm proud of my fellow sister runners, and I know we have an amazing future ahead of us. Well, I'm going out for my long walk. I'm still only in my walking phase. Probably not going to start running till next month, but I'm going to do a couple walks on my 2 days off now, and I finished up a long work week. I worked all weekend, but now I'm going to go out and walk and going to enjoy that. And that is it for me. So thank you so much for joining me. Everything about the episode will be on the website, martharunsworld.com, including becoming a Patreon patron or just donating a couple bucks. One-time donation if you want. Everything's there. If you want to email me, you can at martharunsworld@gmail.com. And until next week, let's tie up our shoelaces and go for a run.